This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It's been called the Great Game. The Great Game actually is a term going back into the 1800s, but actually it was resurrected to describe the, well, should we say, the world's grabbing for oil and gas. In other words, energy. Energy seems to be the great game in the world. In fact, it is so powerful, such a draw, that it is like a massive magnet that is drawing the power brokers of the world, including the major powers, nations in the world, into an effort to control energy and gas. And as I wrote in my book, King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic and End Time Battle, where he who rules the temple round is deemed to rule the world. On the other hand, the reality is that the nation that controls the world's energy supply controls the world. So from the standpoint of ultimate, shall we say, national and international machinations for global governance, he who controls the energy, or the powers that control the energy, also control the Temple Mount for the ruling of the world. With that in mind, that statement, the precursor statement to everything that we talk about, we know that global governance is the goal. It's driving the economic, the political, and military machinations of the leading nations and the confederations of nations, often supported by religious persuasion. But there's one essential that binds their respective goals and lubricates, shall we say, the engines of their lust for power, and that is oil. Everybody talks politically correctly about alternative energy, but in reality, oil remains the indispensable energy source, making the wheels of the world turn. So today on Viewpoint, we're going to take a look at that. We're going to take a look at what is actually happening now. And interestingly, it was not commonly known that as of 2009, Russia became the world's greatest exporter of oil, overtaking Saudi Arabia. But then something dramatic happened in 2012. In 2012, Vladimir Putin decided, you know what? I see something very different happening. I see the United States now becoming the number one energy producer in the entire world. Actually, it was 2013. So, an article came out in the EU Times, March 11th, 2013, with this headline, "World Trembles as U.S. Becomes Greatest Energy Nation in History." Now, how did that headline come about? Well, it came about as a result of a startling report prepared by Russia's energy minister for President Vladimir Putin, saying that the United States is preparing to overturn the entire global economic system as it nears becoming the greatest energy-producing nation in all of human history. And then after the election of Donald Trump, in 2016, in which we continued advancing that cause until we were the number one energy producing nation, then came a fellow by the name of Biden. And he reversed it all. He reversed it all largely on his first day in office. What's going to happen now? Where is it going? Where is this great game going? That's what we want to take a look at here today on Viewpoint. And again, I'm glad that you've joined us. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And much of the great game is going to take us to unusual places, even the Arctic region in the world. It's pretty shocking, you would think. But in fact, that's exactly what's happening. In fact, the Russian Times came out with an article just a couple of days ago called "The Great Game in the Arctic. why the region is the next flashpoint between superpowers. This isn't really a game, friends. That's just the euphemism that's being used to describe a battle for the ages, so to speak, a battle that will be unrestrained between the great powers of the earth in order to gain dominance of energy. And you wonder, well, why would we talk about that? Why is that significant to the United States? Why would it be significant to Americans and American Christians, or Christians all over the world? You're going to have to listen further today in order to understand the dynamics of this, because it is indeed a unbelievable, shall we say, geopolitical war for energy. And it's taking us today to the Arctic. As global powers compete for dominance over vast resources and strategic routes, China and India now are eager to take on a larger role in the pivotal region known as the Arctic. The Arctic region, still relatively unexplored, is recognized as a rich repository of untapped natural resources, particularly oil and gas. It's also historically viewed as the potential flashpoint for great power conflict. Now you say, well, that sounds like it could be the center of the Battle of Armageddon. No, it won't be the center of the Battle of Armageddon, but it could very well have to do a linking factor with what takes place in the Battle of Armageddon, or even more likely, what precipitates the Battle of Gog and Magog as set forth in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where Meshach and Tubal, Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, gathers together a whole bunch of nations, including Iran, which is Persia, and Libya, and Turkey, Togarma, Gomer, Ethiopia, many other nations with them, in order to attack Israel in the latter days to take a spoil. But what is that spoil? There's only one thing right now in the world that has universal demand, attraction, power to lure the powers of the earth to invest everything. It's like the pearl of great price for the nations of the world, and that's oil and gas. Oil and gas. And so today we see how that's leading us now to the Arctic region. And again, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. You're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny, and we need to understand the dynamics of what is taking place. You're not going to hear about this very likely on any of the news media, whether liberal or conservative, because they're just not interested in things like this. They're not, all they're interested in is the most commonly thought issues regarding politics in our country and around the world. They're interested in drama, but they're not interested in things that may have ultimate import. And that's what we talk about here on this program. So I welcome you aboard. We'll be back talking about the great game in the Arctic and then how it connects potentially with biblical prophecy. We'll be right back.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. What would cause the world to tremble? Well, you could say there might be many things that would cause the world to tremble. Maybe a nuclear attack or the immediate threat of a nuclear attack. Yes, I agree with that. How about an 8 or 9 point earthquake that also threatens massive tsunamic activity? Yes, that would cause the world or certain portions of the world to tremble. So Why then would a headline in the EU Times back on March 11th, 2013 state world trembles as US becomes greatest energy nation in history? Why would that cause the world to tremble? And obviously implicit in the headline is that the world was trembling. In fact, there are certain areas of the world that were trembling more than others. And number one of those was Russia. Number two was China. Number three were the other oil and gas producing countries of the world, such as Iran, perhaps Saudi Arabia, Libya, and even Turkey, that doesn't produce oil and gas, but actually has become the, shall we say, the area or territory through which oil and gas, massive oil and gas, is shipped from Russia into Europe. And so Turkey is enriched massively by Russian oil and gas. You see, the Bible tells us in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that there is going to be this very unusually motivated war. And it's going to happen suddenly. It's not going to be announced. It's a confederation. It's going to happen rather secretly. And something is going to precipitate it. Something is going to precipitate it that puts at risk, I believe, the energy of the greatest energy-producing countries in the world, or those that rely upon it most exclusively. It's that big a deal. It's so big that these nations are willing to risk virtually everything in order to gain dominion over it. Ezekiel 38 and 39 calls it a spoil. It is fascinating that the last three letters of the word spoil are oil, but I'm not going to make much of that because perhaps in other languages there isn't such an anomaly. On the other hand, it is interesting to note that. So the nation's trembling, the world trembling, and in fact, it was Vladimir Putin and Russia that actually set the stage for that headline. Because they realized a report after research there, authenticated, authorized by Vladimir Putin, discovered that the United States was preparing to overturn the entire global economic system as it nears becoming the greatest energy-producing nation in all of human history. That's profound. But then, as we indicated in the first part of the program, that was seriously impacted negatively by Barack Obama and by Joe Biden. Both of them seeking to, through so-called climate control, do away with America's energy-producing capability. In other words, to undermine and prohibit that which the world clamored for. And that set the stage for strengthening other nations like Russia and China and weakening Europe. In other words, weakening the Western world by strengthening the non-Western world. And now we're seeing all of the consequences of that playing out, whether it be with the attack on Ukraine, whether it be with the very nuances between Russia's embracing China, China embracing Russia, and now embracing India as well. In other words, enemies now have become friends. The enemy of my enemy now has become my friend. And it's setting the stage for rather significant geopolitical changes. Now, in order to gain a better understanding of the depths of that particular issue, I urge you to get a copy of my book, King of the Mountain, The Eternal Epic End Time Battle, for it is said that he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. As you read this book, you're going to have a whole series of aha moments. I really can virtually guarantee that. aha moments to understand the trajectory of history as it relates to biblical prophecy going all the way back to the creation and even before. Where Satan had his outs with God in the temple of on the temple mount in heaven, the mount of God in heaven, and the rest of history as Satan has determined to rule and reign from the mount of God, the temple mount. And all kinds of geopolitical developments are necessary and part of the greater picture leading to that final historical and prophetic event. So the book is a $20 book, and it's yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Again, I don't think you're going to be disappointed. King of the Mountain, the Eternal Epic End Time Battle, $15 on the website. Chapter 23 is called The Great Game. And when you read that, you're going to realize how significant this issue really is. More significant than you will hear about in your churches, because they're not going to talk about things like this. But we do right here on this program because we want to see and help people to understand how relevant the Word of God really is, and not for information's sake, but for transformation's sake, so that we will take seriously, more seriously, the times that we're in and do what is necessary to respond from God's viewpoint. Again, the book, King of the Mountain, on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 232-55. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Okay, now let's delve into these latest developments that are coming out in the news, both from Russia and also in the U.S., tying the ribbon together here of history and prophecy as it relates to the development of the pursuit of energy in the Arctic region. So we go back to the article coming from the Russian Times. With increased U.S. confrontation with both China and Russia, these two powers have fostered greater cooperation and coordination in Arctic matters, that is, China and Russia. Now, the U.S. has actually kind of forced those two into each other's arms. They have not been friends. Russia and China have not been friends. But now they are friendly because they both see the U.S. as their enemy. So the enemy of my enemy is now my friend. So geopolitically, they're moving together and embracing goals that enable them to, shall we say, coordinate their efforts, each with their own strengths. China having a vast population, 1.3 billion people, Russia having a far more vast natural resources and access to places like the Arctic region. And so they work together now to defeat the Western powers, including the United States of America, and ultimately including Israel itself. So this Arctic region covers over 1/6 of the Earth landmass. 1/6. That's amazing. And it holds nearly 22% of the world's undiscovered oil and natural gas reserves. Can you imagine the effect of that? 22% of the world's undiscovered, in other words, unrealized oil and gas reserves. Now, the petro engineers understand they've already discovered the oil and gas that is there. They just haven't been able to access it. It's a very similar situation to that facing Israel. You see, up till now, all of the oil and gas in the Middle East has been found in Arab nations, primarily Arab or Persian, certainly Muslim. And so it's been a joke in Israel ever since the days of Golda Meir that how is it that all these Arab or non-biblically oriented nations have all the oil and Israel has none? Well, guess what? I believe that God is reserving for these end times the oil and gas that has not up till now come into the hands of Israel. We've already seen that with regard to natural gas. The discoveries there 50 miles off the coast of Israel in the Mediterranean, where there are several now major gas pumping sites that have actually revealed that there are reserves of gas there in Israel territory that will supply Israel with all of the gas energy that it needs for at least 70 years. In fact, not only that, but also gives it enough to export to other nations that formerly Israel had to import from. And so it's increased Israel's, shall we say, gross domestic product, and at the same time given it independence, energy independence with regard to gas. But how about oil? Where is that going to come in? We'll talk about that later in the program here today. But for now, we lay the foundation for the great game being played out now in the Arctic region. And so we go back to this article coming from the Russian Times on December 6th. There's an Arctic Council that was formed. It addresses issues pertinent to Arctic nations, comprising the United States, Canada, Denmark, Iceland, Norway, Sweden, Finland, and Russia. In other words, member states of NATO now, except for Russia. Russia's the odd man out. But Russia's attack on Ukraine actually brought some of those Baltic nations into NATO. Observer countries have to acknowledge the sovereignty and jurisdiction of the Arctic states while recognizing the extensive legal framework governing the Arctic Ocean. But both Russia and the United States have long maintained military bases and surveillance systems in the Arctic, including nuclear deterrent capabilities. And we wouldn't normally think of that, would we? I mean, that frozen tundra out there in the Arctic region, we don't think about that as part of the real world. That's just the frozen tundra out there. Yeah, it's up there, the North Pole, somewhere up there. But we don't think about that in the reality of what's happening with the nations. But it's very real. The increasing interest from additional nations now has sparked a new Cold War dynamic between Russia and the United States and China. That's what the Russian Times is telling us. The Northern Sea Route, called the NSR, lies along the Arctic coast of Russia. Ice clears up here, up there first and therefore is available for longer, and it also has the highest commercial potential. So the route reduces the maritime distance between East Asia and Europe. That's a big deal to Russia, which you can well understand. So it also now is competing for nations, including China, with the Panama Canal. In fact, it's reducing the time necessary to transport by about one-third. And the Panama Canal has been taken over by China, in case you didn't know. But Russia is the largest stakeholder in the Arctic, a region that contributes approximately 10% of Russia's gross domestic product and accounts for 20% of all Russia's exports. This is a very big deal. And the Arctic continues to attract researchers as the next great game unfolds. This is the article from the Russian Times. That's not Pravda. This is a very legitimate communication, news communication from Russia. We'll be back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. saveus.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at saveus.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
A global showdown is in the works and history is in the making, according to a report of Global Research. The world is now at the historical crossroads of the 21st century, and the haunting specter of a major war hangs over the Middle East. Russia and Iran are the nations with the largest natural gas reserves in the world, are number one and number three exporters in the world. Russia and Iran control the export of Central Asian energy to global markets and exercise control and influence through Syria and Turkey over energy corridors to and through the European continent. So, the great game has entered the Mediterranean, according to the report from Global Research. Now, let's take a look for just a moment, divert our focus from the Arctic into Syria and Turkey. Why do you think that Iran and Turkey now are trying to play buddy-buddy now that the Assad regime in Syria has collapsed? Turkey has not had much affection for Assad, and Iran has tried to use Assad to advance its own purposes to destroy Israel and to become the reigning caliphate for Islam in the world. Turkey and Iran have been enemies. Erdogan wants to rule the world under a resurrected pseudo-Ottoman Empire. Iran wants to rule the world as a resurrected Persian Empire. They are at odds with one another, Sunni versus Shiite, and there has been no love lost between them. So why are they now becoming buddy-buddy? Well, isn't it interesting that Turkey and Syria are part of the ability to control the flow of energy from Russia and from Iran into Europe? So if Syria, if they lose control of Syria, then what's going to happen? The whole Middle East situation via oil and gas is thrown up in the air. It becomes even more dangerous. And so this is part of the scene that's taking place right now that you will never hear of in the news media. They're just not interested in things like that. Most of the people really aren't interested in that because it doesn't compute for them. But if they had a biblical vision, it might be more likely to compute. Now we move from that back to the Arctic region. The Arctic continues to attract researchers as the next great game. Discussions surrounding great power politics, competition, and conflict in the Arctic are increasingly capturing the attention of strategic analysts. But you're not going to hear about strategic analysts in the general news media. And I'm not talking about CNN or MSNBC or CBS. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about Fox News or Newsmax. Not going to hear about it. Why? It just doesn't market to their audience. And they don't know anything about it anyway. It's not capturing their attention, partly because they don't have a biblical view. Russia's northern fleet is strategically positioned across the Arctic and holds a dominant stance in that Arctic region. The United States became an Arctic state following its purchase of Alaska from Russia for $7.2 million in 1867. Guess what? It may have been one of the best things that the United States ever did, other than the Louisiana Purchase. In fact, so great has its significance become that Russia now is behind the scenes trying to demand and force America to give up Russia, to give up Alaska. They're claiming Alaska, even though they sold it to us. In other words, all of this is a very, very big game, so to speak. In other words, it's serious. Moscow perceives the United States and its NATO partners as threats to the Arctic ambitions, to their Arctic ambitions. So as the great Arctic race is progressing, Russia's resource-driven economy leads in exploitation efforts. Russia has revived several Soviet-era military bases and modernized its naval capabilities, now operating seven nuclear-powered icebreakers in the Arctic. By contrast, the U.S. and China each operate only two diesel-powered icebreakers. In other words, Russia is really moving forward seriously to take domination over the Arctic region. China views the Arctic as a vital source for energy and minerals. The intensifying global competition between the U.S., Russia, and China is already manifesting significant consequences. While the U.S. holds the title of global superpower, Russia has emerged as the preeminent power in the Arctic region, with strong ties to Russia and a recent order for four icebreakers. India now is positioning itself to play a relevant part in Arctic affairs. India has a population greater than China. Now, I want you to think about this. When Revelation 16 talks about the kings of the east, I believe it's Revelation 16, the Euphrates drying up, and the way of the king of the east coming toward Israel to confront the king of the north and the kings of the south. In the final tempestuous battle, in the center of that 180-mile region called the Valley of Jezreel, beginning under Har Megiddo, the hill of Megiddo there in the north, it's going to be a battle like no other battle ever in history. The Bible says that the blood will flow so deep, it'll be up to the harnesses of the horses. That's a lot of blood. Now, we want to focus on the bloody part of it, but we do want to focus on what leads to it and what its significance might be for you and for me in our understanding of these events. And so, part of that is included in my book, King of the Mountain: The Eternal Epic and End Time Battle. And believe it or not, that book was written in 2013, 11 years ago. But as people read the book, they say, how could you have known these things? This book tells us exactly what's happening right now. And that's true. I just happen to believe that the Lord make those things apparent to me. You can call it reveal, whatever you want to call it. And it is extremely relevant, and not only relevant, but helps us to understand the bigger picture. From God's viewpoint, he's helping to make it plain so that we can understand what's going on, the dynamics, why these things are happening, and see our place in this greater panoply of God's purposes. There's a reason why a Jewish, non-Christian Jewish talk show host decided to interview me 7 weeks in a row concerning this book, King of the Mountain. It just about exploded his mind. I'm not saying these things to brag. It's not about bragging rights. It's about revealing God's plan and purposes for us so that we can be properly prepared. Just like my latest book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times. It's getting people ready. You see, we're like the Titanic. We're like a big ship. And God, in his mercy, realizes it's a tough thing to turn people around to get them ready, to catch their sensibilities. Yes, Christians, we're his warmest audience. And yet, in many respects, we're cold to his true heart and leadership. And so he wants to get our attention. This book will help do that. King of the Mountain. It's a $20 book, yours for $15. It's on our website, saveus.org. Saveus.org. You can call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. King of the Mountain. All right. Now, we move from the Russian Times to an article that just came out 2 days ago in WorldNet Daily from Real Clear Wire. Here's the title, U.S. Energy Dominance, a Key to Trump's Peace Bid. Now, here's a connection that, indeed, our news media could actually make the connection because it kind of fits within the realm of what they like to talk about. Whether they will talk about it is another matter, but we're going to talk about it here for the next few minutes. The U.S. and European energy policies toward Russia are marked by striking inconsistencies. On the one hand, the Biden administration, flanked by its NATO counterparts, dispatches hundreds of billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine and then trumpets sanctions aimed at crippling the Russian economy. On the other hand, though, these same nations continue to procure Russian oil, gas, and thereby replenishing the very coffers they claim to be emptying. The hypocrisy is amazing, and it's compounded by Biden's own domestic energy policies, which curtail American production of oil and gas at precisely the moment when Europe is floundering in its quest to disentangle itself from the dependence on Russian energy. In other words, Biden and his efforts through NATO have actually created an unbelievably unimaginable quagmire.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation, as always, with ever-increasing conviction, hopefully, and talk that transforms. And you say, well, what does talking about oil and gas and the great game and all of that have to do with transformation? It has everything to do with if you understand why we're doing it. If you understand the issues, then you'll understand it's not about information. The information is being presented for transformation so that you and I and those who are listening will have this amazing aha revealed in our own minds and hearts that these things are setting the stage for the final events of world history as prophesied by the prophets and Jesus and his apostles, and it's all happening in front of our eyes, and we have an opportunity to understand this drama and to get ready, to get our children, our grandchildren, ourselves to come clean before God, to repent, because remember, Jesus is very clear about this. The Apostle Paul said that Christ is not coming back for a bride with spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Are there any wrinkles, spots, or any such thing in your life? I bet there are. So we're talking about this so that you'll be prepared and you'll go before the Lord and ask him, are there any spots, wrinkles, or any such thing in my life? Is there anything you want to change in my life? Am I really ready? Or am I like the five foolish virgins that are just not prepared and I'm going to get left out? Don't answer too quickly, my friends. This is not a game. They may call the oil and gas thing a great game, but it's not a game whether or not you're prepared for the coming of the Lord. Because the majority of people on the planet will not be prepared. The majority of people who profess the name of Christ are not going to be prepared. Jesus said, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, in other words, who claims to be my follower, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, is going to inherit the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. In other words, like I obey the Father, they must obey the Father, and if they don't, they're not part of me. Are you beginning to get the picture? Now, you may not like to hear that, but that's what Jesus said. That's what the apostles said. You may not hear that from your pastor. I don't know, because I don't know your pastor. But if you're not hearing that kind of thing from your pastor, he's not telling you the whole truth. He's not preparing you. And he has to, because he's going to have tremendous burden on the day of judgment if he doesn't. See, this information, all of this has to capture the attention of pastors and people alike, because we all put our pants on one leg at a time. Pastors are not insulated from God's judgment. In fact, the judgment upon pastors and church leaders is going to be 10 times more than on the average person. Why? Because to whom much is given, much more is required. Just laying it out there the way it says it in the scripture. So now we return that little interlude, helping us to understand why we're even talking about this. We go back now to U.S. energy dominance, a key to Trump's peace bid. The incoming Trump administration's energy dominance agenda represents an impactful realignment from that which occurred under Biden, that which occurred under Obama. By expanding U.S. oil and gas production, Trump proposes a strategy that aligns American energy policy with his geopolitical imperatives. It positions Trump to negotiate from strength in his pledged pursuit of a peace accord with Russia. Like Ronald Reagan said, peace through strength. Not peace through weakness, peace through strength. One is struck observing the dispensation of billions of NATO nations to Ukraine, while they simultaneously underwrite the Kremlin's war machine through energy purchases. By the sheer absurdity of this double dealing, the sanctions ostensibly designed to hobble Russia's economy are rendered impotent when Europe turns around and replenishes Moscow's coffers through both direct and backdoor energy trading, and which is exactly what's happening. You may not have known about that, but that's exactly what's happening. You thought the sanctions were weakening Russia. Not so. Did you know that the announcement came out recently that the number one country purchasing Rolls-Royces is Russia. That's right. Russians are purchasing more Rolls-Royces than any other country. Why? Because the money is flowing. It's coming through the back door. So ostensibly barred from European markets, Russian crude oil finds sanctuary in third-party nations, chiefly in Central and East Asia, where it's shuffled, refined, and with an air of plausible deniability, sold back to Europe at an agreeable markup price. So Europe actually is paying more for its oil and gas that actually is coming from Russia, funneled through Asia, including India, in order to pretend that its hands are clean, not using Russian oil and gas, because it's under sanction. This is what's happening in the name of government. Indian refiners, they're from India, transform the crude oil from Russia into diesel and other derivatives and then export them back to Europe. It's in essence a tidy energy laundering operation, one that ensures a steady flow of revenue to Russia while Europe is paying handsomely for its pretense of self-righteous isolation. As this article says, the irony would be amusing if the stakes were not so high. So, as you know, President Biden campaigned under the banner of ban fracking. Biden summarily canceled the final phase of the Keystone XL pipeline project, a critical artery for North American energy connectivity. And by the end of his first week in office, he had frozen all public land oil and gas lease applications and saddled existing leases with an additional layer of bureaucratic review. He also paused permitting for gas export activities at a moment when American energy resources could have provided a bulwark against both economic instability and geopolitical vulnerability. Biden chose instead to indulge the ideological imperatives of his political base. What does that mean? It means that he chose to play God. How so, you say? He chose to play God by pretending that he and his cohorts, that is, the Democrat Party, could control the environment or the climate, when in fact, government is not designed to do any such thing. That's God's business. What he should have been doing under government was preparing for the energy necessities of the country. Instead, he did just the opposite, playing God, and now both. Impossible to control the climate. And he failed to do what he could do. In fact, he did just the opposite. But in contrast, Donald Trump and Joe Biden on energy policy is a study in antitheses. Trump's rallying cry of drill, baby, drill encapsulates a vision of energy dominance that is unapologetically ambitious, unabashedly pro-development, and unmistakably American. Now, that, I'm just excerpts from some of these articles that have come out just in the last few days. You think that might be important? I think it is. The next article actually came out back in July. Here's the headline: Our Alaska, Russia's new talking point sparks U.S. alarm. Did you hear that? Putin and his cohorts there in Russia are claiming Alaska to be Russian. So posturing from Russia has heated up after both Russian and Chinese jets are found in international airspace over 200 miles from Alaska. Joining the chorus are Russian broadcasters saying, it's our Alaska. Yet, Alaska was purchased by the U.S. from Russian Empire in 1867 for a price of $7.2 million, equivalent to about $129 million in 2023. So the oil and resource-rich state, Alaska, has now become a coveted prize for Russia, which sits only 55 miles away at its closest point. You think that might be a problem for us? And then, interestingly, Mr. Biden and Mr. Obama did everything they could to prevent us from gaining oil and gas from Alaska. Unbelievable. Why? Because they thought they could play God and it was all about climate change or climate control. Not climate change. The climate has always changed and never will stop. That's not our business. That's God's business. Our business is to govern the things that we are capable of governing, to provide the necessary resources for the protection of the country, both foreign and domestic. That's the problem. That is the goal, the purpose, the biblical purpose of government. And we've decided to do all kinds of other things instead of the biblical purpose of government. So that's where we really are. Now let's shift now in this final segment of the program to Israel's oil and gas and oil and Israel's existence. It's a big deal, a very, very big deal. In September of 2010, the headline, oil reserves found in Israel could change power structure in the region. In 2010, another article, U.S. expert predicts oil and gas rush to Israel. Another, Israel bids to end global oil dependency by 2020. Another in 2011, Israel's coast may be gold mine of oil. Another, natural gas bonanza for Israel, possible oil bonanza as well. Another, oil well compared to giving of the Torah. Another, Leviathan oil field could sustain Israel for decades. Now, all of these prefaced my book that came out in 2013, but the book was written in 2012. All of these things came leading up to immediately preceding 2012 when the book was written. Now, how does all this connect? Well, in 2011 came this headline. Erdogan, president of Turkey, drives toward armed clash with Israel, oil and gas at stake. It seems that everything is directed toward, ultimately, Israel. They haven't yet seen the oil that petrogeologists know is under the soil of Israel. Maybe God is about to do some divine fracking to move the tectonic plates and open up the fissures of oil. And what will that do to the geopolitical frenzy of Russia and China and all of the oil producing nations and all those that hate the West and Israel? Consider that. Get a copy of my book, King of the Mountain, $15 on our website, saveus.org. It'll open your eyes and your heart.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Crismier. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church to